Welcome and season's greetings to you all. My name's Diane. I'm one of the wardens at this church, and it's lovely to see you here today. And it's such a great time to remember the birth of our Saviour Christ, but it's also a time to remember that he is always with us. I've recently been reading a book by Max Lucado, Travelling Light, which draws on the 23rd Psalm as a model of God's presence with us. Early in the book, he set the tone for my reading with the following: there are certain weights in life you simply cannot carry. Your Lord is asking you to set them down and trust him. With the unknowns we face in the world as it is right now, it has reminded me to set down my fears and trust him. And I hope as we look forward, we too keep focused on the one who holds the world in his hands and trust him. We're going to open this morning by sharing together a psalm. If you'd like to join with me in saying this psalm together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with beautiful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We're going to then sing our praises to our great God with "To God Be the Glory," our first hymn. Please stand.
Please stand.
Come together as a church of God to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, to encourage one another to hold fast to the hope he has given us, and to spur one another to love and good deeds. Together,
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please take a seat. Gracious God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Rosemary's now going to share today's Bible reading.
Good morning, everyone. Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21 through to verse 40. And you can follow it over on the screen overhead. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sorry for those who are here in church. I got carried away reading my Bible and forgot about you reading your Bible on the screen. Sorry about that. You can turn in the bulletin to the Bible reading that set that Rosemary's just read to us. But continuing on through Luke's Gospel, and from yesterday we heard of the birth of our Lord Jesus, and today it's about 8 days later, and he's being presented to the temple to the priest there to be blessed this time. For those listening in, we're very mindful of you, that you can't be with us today, and our thoughts are with you and our prayers are with you, and we consider you gathering with us even though we cannot see you. But we hope that you're listening in and enjoying the fellowship with us over this Christmas period. With Christmas preparations and celebrations over, for most of us, for today, it's very much for us, our family are all gathering this morning. I'm glad to see that the busyness and the stress that too often accompanies this time of the year has not robbed us now of a moment to actually be still, gather together and think on the things of God and the reason for Christmas. I trust you've had some time to catch up with your family, whether face-to-face or via the technology of Zoom, and those hoping for a gift, that what you were hoping for and waiting for has not disappointed you. I find waiting very hard. People these days have had to do a lot of waiting. You've seen the queues on the news of people waiting to get COVID tested and then having to wait and wait again for the results to come back. And then we even hear of people having to wait for whether or not the flights will be cancelled or not cancelled, and whether they are able to meet with family and friends and relatives at this time of Christmas. Waiting is something that I personally find difficult. Sometimes when I'm in a real hurry, I say, I put something in the microwave and I say, this thing takes forever. I try, go, come on. Or the toast never ever browns quick enough for you. Do you feel like when you're waiting for things? All right. I find waiting very, very difficult. The reason for Christmas has been to remember God's gift to us of his Son, Jesus Christ. He gave us that gift to secure friendship with him through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, through the work of Christ on our behalf. As we heard yesterday, if there was any other way in which God could make us friends with him, other than sending his Son, if it was by our good works or our efforts, God would have told us so and not sent his Son in place. But we can't. We can't save ourselves, so God does it for us in Christ. As I look around here by your gathering here this morning, that we know this to be true. But there are many, and we know that many have not found that truth to be true for them. But we know that from John 3:16 and verse 17, we know that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, to save us through him. And in 1 Corinthians 2, the Apostle Paul wrote, what no eye has seen, what ear heard, or no human mind has ever conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us, made known to us by his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 9 and 10. And then long time before in Psalm 27, we read from there, I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Therefore, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. The scriptures remind us that God keeps his promises and to wait for him to fulfill them. At times, this message and promise are hard to believe. The call to trust God at his word and to patiently wait seem impossible at times. We hear and see so many things that disappoint us. It's tempting, isn't it, to give up, to throw in the towel, to say, enough's enough, not today. To question the message of the angels to the shepherds that we heard read to us yesterday on that very first Christmas. To question, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth of whom his favour rests. Well, may we at times ask that question, well, what favour, God? What peace? And this can be ever so true for whatever age we may be. and I gather all the more for those who are getting on in age. You've seen many Christmases, and people seem none the wiser, and God seems far from being a part of people's affairs and life. They're quite comfortable without a belief in God. Is God genuinely disinterested in us? Is he not interested in our welfare? We ask, has he forgotten us? Will he keep his promises? Will Christ come again? It's been many years. Will we see him as he promised? Each day of life waiting for Christ's return can whittle away at our confidence, our certainty in the things we have been taught. Turn with me and look down there at the verses before us to the story that Luke's recorded for us today. It had been promised to a man who was old, very old, that he would not miss out on seeing the promised Christ before he died. His name was Simeon. Look there at verse 25. At the same time, there was a woman that we're told of 84 years. She could have been that age or a bit younger. A prophet and a widow for most of her life. Verse 36. This widow, she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, waiting, fasting, and praying. Her name was Anna. I wonder, as the years rolled on, if there were days when Simeon and Anna doubted God to keep his promise. Would they see the one God had planned from the beginning of time, who would bring the consolation of Israel, the redeeming of Jerusalem, that's another way of describing it, or the one who would comfort, the one who would come and console God's people and assure them of their acceptance before God through the forgiveness of sin? I wonder if there were days when they doubted. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God, had prophesied Isaiah many, many years before. And Anna and Simeon would have known it. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, Isaiah 40, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. God had prophesied through Isaiah to God's people, of which Anna and Simeon would have known, and God's writing this and revealing it through Isaiah to his people as having happened, as it is certain to God and has occurred. In Isaiah 52, similarly, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen, lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy when the Lord returns to Zion. They will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together. Your ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Anna and Simeon knew these scriptures and were holding on to this promise of God. I wonder if they doubted if God would keep his promise. Once many children, I gather, were part of this church. As for many churches, it's only natural for us to think, where have they all gone? What are we doing wrong? If only things were different. This may well have been the thought of Simeon and Anna in their time. Were they doing anything wrong? Where is everybody? If only things were different, maybe. But after many, many years of waiting, of faithfulness, a Jewish couple brought an 8-day-old child to church, to the temple. An ordinary couple, Joseph and Mary. The child's mother placed her infant son into Simeon's arms for him to bless. And Anna was looking on, a common practice. There may well have been other children coming to there to be blessed as well. Looking into the eyes of this little one, and the scriptures remind us that Anna and Simeon were moved by God's Holy Spirit. Simeon and Anna saw God's promise fulfilled in Jesus. What joy that must have been for them. What reassurance, what peace, what wisdom they realized at that moment there was in trusting God at his word and in patience. Simeon says there, look there at verse 29 and 32. Oh, sovereign Lord, prayed Simeon, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. On a notice board outside of a church many years ago was a sign that showed pieces of a jigsaw puzzle slotted all together. But in the centre of the jigsaw puzzle, there was a gap and there was an empty space in the middle of it. And off to the side, there was obvious jigsaw piece that was meant to go into that space, and it had Jesus' name on it. And the caption at the bottom was, Jesus, the missing piece. Why would the story of Simeon and Anna be recorded by Luke in our Bibles? Why tell us of their long waiting? Why tell us of their trust in God to keep his promises, that he would keep his promises and to continue to be faithful despite what they saw and what they thought? For God's plan was always to become one of us in Christ, in his time, and he was, and to be seen by those whom God had promised, that those who wait for God to keep his promises, like ourselves, may know the peace that their wait is not in vain. God will keep his promises. Maybe this Christmas, this peace, this reassurance seems as if it's slipped away. Maybe. Maybe not. And doubts as to whether God will keep his promises, we've allowed to take up residence in our mind, and doubts are there. God has become one of us in Christ. He was seen. by those whom God had promised they would see. We can be certain of the things we have been taught. Maybe like Simeon and Anna, we need to have a good look at Jesus as he's revealed himself in his word. And to remember that God has kept his promises, he will deliver. God always keeps his promises. There is wisdom trusting God at his word and being patient and waiting for him to fulfill them. For the psalmist writes, and it can be our words too, and our prayer, I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Therefore, wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for our doubts. Forgive us for our moments of lack of faith. Thank you for granting us the grace to be faithful. Thank you that you are sovereign and working your purposes out in the big and the small, in the great and in the not so great. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are working 100% in each of our lives to make us more and more like your Son, Jesus. Lord, grant us the grace to be patient, to cherish the privilege to wait and to trust in your word, to see wisdom in waiting and trusting. Lord Jesus, we look forward to the day when you come and take us to be with yourself. Until that time, Lord Jesus, and in your timing, we will wait. We will be patient and we will serve you. Bless us, we pray, in your Son's name, Father, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Diane, come and lead us more further in a time of prayer and worship.
As we've been reminded of God's great power and faithfulness to us, we are also aware of our own sinfulness and failure to honour him sufficiently. Let us confess our unworthiness in the prayer of confession. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you've washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our second song this morning is I Will Glory in My Redeemer. Please stand and join together in song.
Priceless blood has ransomed me. Mine was His face forever to behold, His face forever to behold.
We will glory.
We will glory in our Redeemer who waits for us at gates of gold. And when He calls us, it will be paradise. His face forever to behold, His face forever.
Please take a seat, and David's going to lead us in a time of prayer.
Let's start together by saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty Lord, thank you that you have revealed yourself. Thank you that your word can be trusted because you are trustworthy. We appreciate the example today of confidence and patience in Anna and Simeon, who were able to trust in your word as though it had already happened, despite many years passing by. We appreciate them as an example to show us how to have faith in you and your steadfastness without losing heart. Please give us the same confidence and patience to be wise and trust you at your word that you have given us. Amen. Loving Heavenly Father, at this special season of the year, as we celebrate your amazing love to us in sending Jesus to earth as a man so that he could reveal you to us and take the punishment we deserve, we bring before you those of our family, friends and colleagues who are yet to recognize you as their Lord and their need for salvation. Help them to see past the glitz and glitter of presents and parties, to recognize their need of the ultimate gift that you have freely given to all, and your saving power to be able to do this for them. Lord God, we also pray for those for whom Christmas is a bleak time because of poverty or family breakup, for those who put themselves seriously into debt attempting to meet expectations, for those for whom this is not a happy or joyous time of year. We ask that you will give them your gift of peace, which came through Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and your spirit of contentment and true joy. We pray especially for the families of the six children who lost their lives in Devonport, for the whole deeply grieving community, and especially for the people who were there as it happened and the first responders who came on the scene. Help them all to see that you love us all and care for us deeply. Help them in their grief and loss to be shown the refuge and strength that you are and can be for us all. Amen. Sovereign and mighty Lord, we continue to pray for the world, our nation, our city, and ourselves as we respond to the coronavirus pandemic. We thank you for the amazing progress that's been made in our state to achieve a high vaccination response. Thank you for the health workers who helped to make this happen, and we thank you that this has allowed restrictions to be eased. But as we now respond to the new risk of the Omicron variant, please help us to be careful and mindful of each other. We pray especially for people whose Christmas and family plans have been compromised at this time by the recent outbreak, and ask that you will give them comfort and peace to accept their situation. Sovereign Father, give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis. We also continue to ask that there will be increasing equity in the distribution of the vaccine around the world. We are privileged to be in Australia, and we know there are so many people who still don't have access to a vaccine. Please give global leaders the courage and strength to make wise decisions for all peoples in all countries. Lord God, we thank you for answering so many of our prayers about this situation over the past 20 months. We acknowledge that you are sovereign in all things, including this pandemic, and we thank you for looking after us as a local community and keeping us safe at this time. We know that this is not because of anything we deserve or any merit in and of ourselves, but it's thanks to who you are and your protection of us. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Lord God, our protector, we thank you for the work that Anglicare does in aged care, hospitals and correctional facilities through their chaplaincy activity. We thank you for the opportunity to go into these places and show that everyone is created in your image and is therefore valued and worthy of care and love. We thank you for the people who do this work and look to make you known. We ask that you will sustain them and encourage them in their work. We thank you that your Spirit prepares the way and upholds and guides them in what they are doing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way Anglicare is organised to make this happen and the positive impact this work has in showing your love and grace to many in our community. Amen. Lord, our Shepherd, we know there are many places where your people are unjustly persecuted, and at Christmas there is an even bigger risk of religious persecution. We bring before you our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, in countries like Egypt, Iraq, and Iran, who are frequently discriminated against and attacked because they are believers and followers of Jesus. Help justice to be done so that discrimination will be stopped. Lord, please give our fellow believers confidence in your presence and the ability to stand firm in their faith. Give them safety from physical attack and help them to be patient in their response to aggression and show love to those who are persecuting them. Lord, we thank you that you are all-knowing and achieve your purpose through their suffering to honour your name and grow your kingdom. Amen. Lord God, our foundation and rock, we thank you for the leadership of our diocese, and thank you especially for the Most Reverend Kanishka Raphael, our Archbishop. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wider team of bishops and other staff across the diocese. We ask that you will give them unity of purpose and help them to work as a cohesive team on behalf of your people. Heavenly Father, we bring before you all of our brothers and sisters across the diocese today and ask that you will bless each parish as it meets today. Amen. Father, help us to live as the Holy Family, united in respect and love. Bring us to the joy and peace of your eternal home. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Loving Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We thank you for the unity we have as we strive to more and more be growing as followers of Jesus together. Work within us by your Spirit to help us to clothe ourselves as your people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Give us open and generous hearts and the willingness to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Please work your peace in our lives and give us thankful hearts so that whatever we do it all in your name and giving thanks to you for everything. Heavenly Father, we also have a number of people who have special needs at this time. We bring them before you now, turning to you and trusting that you will provide what is needed in all ways and at all times. Amen. Lord, our Father, we bring all these matters and others on our hearts to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Just to keep you updated on a few things, usually a quieter time over December, January, with works being shut down and people resting a little bit more than they normally would. It gives you a chance to think about the things that you might like to do during the new year coming up, 2022. If you're a regular of our church, you might like to consider the things that you could do to help just manage the place a bit. Most of them aren't terribly onerous, you know, serving morning tea or reading a Bible passage or welcoming people at the door. So those sorts of things can't be done unless we've got people volunteer. So at the back of the church as you leave on the left, there's a red box and beside it some small sheets, and it's called Sharing in Ministry 2022. We don't expect you to pick it up today, fill it in and put it straight back in the box. But if you ponder over it through January and think, you know, I might like to do something, you know, just put yourself down for one. And if you're feeling energetic, you know, there's always space for more. whatever you're moved to do and to offer. We have a lot of people in this church who donate to the church functioning financially by direct debit. But we have an offertory box at the back on that left-hand side. Again, it's a black one. If you would like to just throw some coins or a note or something in there as you're moved to do, that would be fantastic as well. And coming up on the 3rd of January, straight after the new year, we have a prayer meeting. And it's a good time to get together with other like-minded people who have a care and a heart for the world. We do hear about so many things going on around us and we get desperately unhappy and you know, wish that these things didn't happen. But we can also just plead to God for the things that are on our hearts. And the prayer meeting is an opportunity to do that. And if you can't verbalise it yourself, other people will verbalise it for you. But your presence there is a support for them. And I think you'll find great support for you in hearing other people's prayers. So I commend that to you as well. And the rest of the announcements in there for the rest of things coming up in January, I'll get you to refer to the inside of the bulletin on the right-hand side of the page. Okay. We're coming up with our last song now, and it's a pretty good one. It's called O Great God. So if you'd like to stand, and we can sing that one together. Just before I close the service, if anyone is needing prayer at the moment because your heart's troubled, we'll have a couple of people at the front of the church, Barbara and Dick. If you'd like to come down here and share, they're willing to pray with you about your issues. I pray that you will find great comfort in knowing that wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, the Lord our God, creator of everything, goes with you. And that our God fulfills his promises to his people. Gracious God, you made an eternal covenant with us through the blood of your Son and brought him back from the dead as the great shepherd of your sheep. Equip us with everything good for doing your will. Work in us what is pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
Thanks for coming today.